Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Share something before I give you a review of our last podcast and the series I've been working on. I just had a little intro here, a little something I wanted to share. You know, we all know about the coronavirus and the spread that's been taking place over such a long period of time now. But, you know, there's something else that's spreading around, and it's spiritual warfare. Some of you probably are very aware of it and know what's taking place. You know, the time is short, I believe, for the enemy of our souls, for the devil to do the work that he's trying to do and the deception he's trying to do. And I think, you know, he is about and he's on the loose. He's been active for, of course, thousands of years. But I think time is short for him. And I think of 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11. I'll share those in just a minute. But I know I have asked for prayer recently for some of the spiritual warfare I've been going through. And I'm always thankful for prayer and your prayerful support. But recently I noticed on a Facebook site, a prophecy site actually, the question was asked about spiritual warfare. How many people are experiencing, you know, a great amount of spiritual warfare? And a lot of people responded. So it made me think of these verses, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10, actually. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, you know, a lot of us are going through this. And have been, of course, over the years, but I think there's just a whole lot of difficulty taking place, a lot of spiritual warfare right now. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, and strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. Now, just a quick review. You know, I've been looking at possible implications of current events in light of the future Ezekiel 38 and 39 Gog-Magog prophecy. The oil influence, of course, in many of these fluid areas, no pun intended, but many areas of the world where there is a lot of activity and hostility and aggression and things taking place concerning oil and natural gas, you know, we mentioned before and quoted J. Vernon McGee that one of the hooks that will be in Russia's jaw, who is going to lead this coalition in the attempted destruction and this invasion and destruction of Israel sometime in the future. This is something that I'm seeing all in many parts of the world now as we look at some of these places that are connected to Israel and you know, connected to this oil industry and the natural gas industry. So in the Jerusalem Post, September 7th, 2017, a few years ago, there's an article, Why Did Israel Choose Azerbaijan? And I've been looking at this situation with Azerbaijan and Armenia recently. And this article by Arye Gutt is his name. I want to read a little bit to you from this. And you know, in regards to yet another rumors of war, Jesus said there'd be wars and rumors of wars, of course. And so we see what's taking place here, where Israel has a connection to both of these countries that are now warring with each other, and where oil is also involved. Now, the article says, in recent years, the state of Israel has pursued a multi-vector foreign policy. This policy brings considerable foreign policy dividends to Israel. And in terms of development of economic ties, Israel is a very close ally of the United States and maintains quite good relations with many other countries in American continents. Israel closely cooperates with both European and Asian countries, But there are several countries which have special strategic relations with Israel, and the leader of the South Caucasus, the mountains there, Azerbaijan, is one of them. Today, it is a historical fact that no country in Eurasia has closer or warmer ties with Israel than Azerbaijan. The relationship between the two countries is particularly surprising because Azerbaijan is a majority Muslim country. Over the 25-year history of diplomatic relations between Azerbaijan and Israel, there have been there have been a lot of positive moments between two countries and peoples. Relatively few people know about the remarkable role that the Jewish community has played in Azerbaijan. Moreover, throughout the Soviet period, Jews played a major role in the intellectual, economic, and political life of Azerbaijan. Unlike many cultures, Azerbaijanis have never viewed Jews as foreigners or aliens. The Jewish people have never experienced harassment, insults, pogroms, and anti-Semitic actions in Azerbaijan. At the same time, official Baku, and that's the capital, has repeatedly denounced manifestations of anti-Semitism elsewhere. It is a predominantly Shiite Muslim country. 25 years ago, Israel counted on Azerbaijan in the South Caucasus, and this was the right strategic choice for all indicators. However, the recent activation of the Armenian community in Israel and intensification of relations and cooperation of some Israeli organizations and bodies with Armenia are displeasing official Baku, because Azerbaijan considers Israel as its ally and Armenia as an ally of Iran. So, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Armenia is a quote-unquote so-called Christian country, and Iran is obviously a Shiite country. And Azerbaijan, of course, is a Shiite Muslim country. Well, anyway, again, this was in 2017, a few years back. This leads to a conclusion that official Israel should not maintain close ties with those states that cause deterioration of relations with its allies. A year ago, we observed an anti-Israeli hysteria and rabid anti-Semitism in Armenia. So that would have been around 2016. Even in Israel, the Armenian community staged provocative rallies against the Azerbaijani-Israeli partnership. The Armenian Report website openly promotes anti-Semitism and anti-Israel policy, even calling for the destruction of the State of Israel. The Armenian Report website posted an article which says, "We need to work even more closely with Iran, with Arab militant groups and organizations that are against Israel. The Armenian government should actively involve Armenians living in the Middle East who have close ties with Hezbollah, the Islamic Jihad, Hamas, especially with the Izz ad-Din al-Qassam." Izz ad-Din al-Qassam. Okay, end of quote. All right. Such a high level of anti-Semitism in Armenia can compare it only with Israel's hostile Middle East Arab countries and Iran, which is Armenia's closest strategic ally. Meanwhile, the present status quo of the Armenian Azerbaijani Nagorno Karabakh conflict suits Iran, since in this situation the possibility of strengthening the political and economic influence on both Armenia and Azerbaijan increases. Throughout the world, official Tehran has been advocating the destitute and oppressed Muslims. However, Iran, which has a 600-kilometer-long border with Shiite Azerbaijan, and remember, Iran is also a Shiite, they're part of the branch of Muslims known as Shiites, supports Armenia in this conflict. So a question that has to be answered is, where is your Shia Muslim pride? Where is your religious solidarity? Why haven't spiritual leader of Iran, Khamenei, and Iranian President Hosni Rouhani condemned Armenia, which occupied 20% of the territory of brotherly Shia Azerbaijan and does not comply with the 4 resolutions of the UN Security Council that require Armenia to leave the occupied Azerbaijani territories? Why did they not recognize the Khojaly genocide? The State of Israel supports the just position of Azerbaijan and calls for the settlement of the Armenian-Azerbaijani Nagorno-Karabakh conflict only within the framework of international law and the principles of territory territorial integrity of states. Now, that was from the Jerusalem Post, of course, from a Jewish perspective, an Israeli perspective. But now, this Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, of course, has fired back up again. As I say, this was a little bit older article. This next article from the Jerusalem Post is from September 29th, 2020, by Seth Franzman. And this article is entitled, Do Clashes Between Armenia and Azerbaijan Matter to Israel? In recent months, there have been increasing tensions between Armenia and Azerbaijan. In general, these tensions have appeared peripheral to Islam, to Israel's concerns. And, you know, in the last podcasts, I have referred to this war and these tensions in this oil-rich area. So I won't repeat anything there other than it, that's in the articles I'm referring to here. With new peace deals in the Gulf, and that's talking about Israel and the United Arab Emirates, etc., Bahrain, and discussions about what countries might be next to recognize Israel, the Caucasus seems far away. However, it would be a mistake to think that this brewing conflict is not of great concern to Israel because of wider strategic ramifications and the Israeli relationship with the countries involved. This is particularly true because the Azerbaijan-Armenia conflict is potentially a crossroads for Turkey, Russia, and Iran. Of course, those are the big three in the up-and-coming invasion of Ezekiel 38 and 39, three of the major powers involved with that. And their rising roles in the Middle East, Turkey, Russia, and Iran, and their rising roles in the Middle East. Israel and Azerbaijan have had a close connection, have had close connections for many years. Azerbaijan is a Muslim country, and it has been one of the most open to Israel and genuinely interested in wider and warmer relations over the years. A rising Azerbaijan would like to show its strength in the face of continued clashes with Armenia or Armenian-backed separatists. Azerbaijan has increased a Muslim country, and it has been one of the most open to Israel and genuinely interested in wider and warmer relations over the years. A rising Azerbaijan would like to show its strength in the face of continued clashes with Armenia or Armenian-backed separatists. Okay, I'm repeating a little bit. Azerbaijan has increased investment, and it has new support from Ankara. Of course, that's referring to Turkey. The issue for Israel is that Turkey is one of the most hostile states to it, to Israel, that is, in the Middle East. Turkey and Iran compete to be the most anti-Israel. Boy, isn't that the truth? Largely because of Turkey's current ruling party, which is riding a wave of nationalism and militarism designed to distract from economic problems at home. Turkey wants to sell military equipment such as drones to show off its potential. Iran also wants to play a role. Iran sent forces to participate in the Caucasus Mountains, in other words, 2020 military drills earlier this month alongside Russia, Armenia, Myanmar, Pakistan, and China. This appears to show that Armenia, Iran, and Russia are closer allies, even though Iran and Azerbaijan want to boost trade ties. Ankara would like to increase its role with Baku, Azerbaijan. That potentially could supplant or harm Israel's relations there, depending on how Ankara's efforts play out. For instance, in the past, Israel has sold drones to Azerbaijan. It's possible that everyone could work together well in this third country, but given Ankara's anger over Israeli peace deals with the UAE and Bahrain, it appears that Turkey's overall regional world view is to try to isolate the Jewish state. So we go back to these unprecedented peace treaties that Israel has been making with these small oil-rich Gulf states, and you see some of the ramifications with Turkey. This would indicate that Ankara's push for more militarization of the Caucasus may not bode well for Jerusalem. The wider regional issue is important. Israel has good relations with Russia. I don't know about that, but but apparently pretty good relations. We know that will ultimately change, which supports Armenia. Israel has very bad relations with Iran, which also supports Armenia. Israel has good relations with Azerbaijan, but bad relations with Turkey, and Turkey supports Azerbaijan. That means that with all this complexity, there is no clarity on what a wider conflict could mean for Israel. And, you know, things change. We're in such a fluid time. as we see different coalitions and different loyalties and different things change. But anyway, I move on. Israel has no direct role in the outcome of the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan. But like every conflict in the Middle East, even when Israel has no connection, the wider ramifications will eventually affect the Jewish state. This is true whether they be tensions in the Eastern Mediterranean, you know, and we've spoken a little bit about that, over the black gold or the oil there in the Mediterranean that Turkey's been trying to horn in on, that Israel is involved with Cyprus and Greece in some of the transporting of that oil to Europe, or in northern Iraq, Yemen, Libya, and Syria. This is because as the U.S. withdraws from its historical hegemonic role in the Middle East, the regional powers such as Turkey, Iran, and Israel will inevitably have a larger role. And speaking of the Eastern Mediterranean, this is an article that came out a little while back, and I was waiting for the right opportunity to share this. I think this is a good opportunity. This is from September 23rd, 2020, from the Bessa Center. Dr. George Sogopoulos, The Dangerous Waters of the Mediterranean. The national agendas of Greece and Turkey continue to clash in the Mediterranean. Israel supports the right of Greece to delimit its continental shelf and favors regional cooperation as a member of the East Med Gas Forum, but understands that as matters stand, the possibility of a breakthrough is limited. In a recent Bloomberg piece, James Stavridis argued that the most dangerous waters in the world are in the Mediterranean. But he goes on to say that claim is debatable. Tensions in the South China Sea seem more ominous. Few would disagree that dangers exist in the Mediterranean, though. Definitely, there's a lot going on over there right now. The current standoff between Greece and Turkey in the Eastern Mediterranean is telling. Since the beginning of August, the Turkish research vessel Oryk Reis has been conducting exploration in waters claimed by both Athens, which is Greece, of course, and Ankara, which is Turkey. As there is no agreement between the two, the U.S. is employing its typical equal distances approach and characterizes these waters as disputed. The Oryk Reis returned to Anatolia port on September 13th, but it is unclear how long it will remain there. Israel, for its part, is standing with Greece. So there's some more tension with Turkey, with Israel. On August the 12th, it expressed its full support and solidarity with Greece in its maritime zones and its right to delimit its exclusive economic zone. Unlike Israel and Cyprus, however, Greece only recently took concrete steps in that regard. Following the November 2019 agreement on maritime zones between Turkey and Libya, Greece embarked on an attempt to protect its sovereign rights, however belatedly. The description of the problem is much easier than its solution. A dialogue between Greece and Turkey has been suggested by mediators such as the U.S. and the EU, the European Unity, European Common Market there, as well as permanent members of the UN Security Council of China and Russia. However, Greece is prepared to discuss only the matter of maritime zones, while Ankara's agenda encompasses issues that Athens cannot accept, such as the demilitarization of several Greek islands in the Aegean Sea. For Greece, everything that is threatened is not demilitarized. The Turkish invasion of Cyprus in 1974 dramatically outlines the threat. On the public diplomacy level, Turkey threatens Greece almost daily, which ratchets up the risk of a military incident. In mid-August, the Greek frigate Lemnos accidentally collided with the Turkish ship Kemal Reis, damaging the right side of the latter's stern. One option that seems viable but needs further elaboration is a multilateral dialogue with the participation of the Eastern Mediterranean countries and external brokers. President of the EU Council, Charles Michel, has spoken in favor of a multilateral conference. The existence of the East Med Gas Forum, an initiative that includes Egypt, Israel, Greece, Cyprus, Jordan, Italy, and the Palestinian Authority, highlights the significance of regional collaboration among partners for energy issues in the basin. However, the agenda of Michel's proposed conference needs to be specified. This also applies to countries that might attend. Israel, for example, has already started to export natural gas from its own reservoirs and does not enthusiastically welcome EU involvement in Middle East affairs. This is particularly true after the achievement of the Abraham Accords. And, of course, that's the peace of Israel with the UAE recently. Furthermore, the representation of Lebanon, Libya, and Syria, as well as Cyprus, in a way that would satisfy both Anastasides and Erdogan. Erdogan, of course, is the man leading, the leader of Turkey, and the other man is the leader of Greece, might scupper the idea. History does not suggest reason for optimism. The waters of the Mediterranean waters remain a source of disagreement and occasionally danger. You know, there are several places around the world where a spark could set off, you know, major war. You know, I don't think it's going to set off the major Gog-Magog war, because we know, and I'll get to that as we have time. I'll probably get more into that next week. This is an article actually from an Orthodox Jewish site called Israel 365 News, Adam Berkowitz, and this was October the 1st, 2020. And this is, like I say, it's an Orthodox Jewish concept, this site of Gog and of the Gog-Magog prophecy. So there are other people that look at this prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39, but their take on it, I believe, is not really accurate, not completely accurate, but I still think it's interesting just to look at what is said in this article. The article says, as war breaks out between Armenia and Azerbaijan, rabbis make a Gog-Magog connection. It says, one plane shot down leads to old conflict rekindled. On Tuesday, Armenia claimed that neighboring Azerbaijan shot down one of its warplanes, killing the pilot over the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region of the border. Azerbaijan denied the claim. According to Armenia, an Su-25 from its air force was shot down in Armenian airspace by a Turkish F-16 fighter jet that took off from Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan has repeatedly claimed that its air force does not have F-16 fighter jets. However, Turkey, a NATO member, does have U.S.-made fighter jets. Turkish military advisors were reportedly on the ground alongside Azerbaijani fighters who were using Turkish military equipment and aircraft. Armenia also accused Turkey of transporting thousands of Syrian mercenaries to support the Azerbaijani military. Azerbaijan responded by accusing Russia of sending large numbers of weapons to Armenia. The region is mainly inhabited by ethnic Armenians and has been fighting for decades to secede Azerbaijan. Though based on long-standing territorial disputes, the current outbreak of violence is considered to be a proxy conflict between Russia, supporting Armenia, and Turkey, supporting Azerbaijan. So you see, Turkey and Russia are actually at loggerheads here. But as I say, sometime in the future, they will join together at least one time for this major invasion of Israel. We don't know when that will be, but we think it's very possible the stage is being set and some changes are definitely going to come. Now, Russia has a defense pact with Armenia and a military base in Armenia, but has been calling for calm. Rabbi Ken Spiro, a historian and senior lecturer and researcher for Aish HaTorah Yeshiva, emphasized that this local conflict had regional implications. There doesn't seem to be a direct influence on Israel other than the bigger picture power struggles, Rabbi Spiro said. But these are substantial. Putin wants to reestablish the Russian Empire, and Erdogan, the Turkish leader, wants to reestablish the Ottoman Turkish Sultanate. He says these guys have been duking it out precisely in these regions, in this region for centuries. There is certainly a religious element in the conflict, but the major issue has been the Bosporus and Russian access from the Black Sea into the Mediterranean. Now, let me quote from J. Vernon McGee a little bit. There's mention of the Bosporus here. This is from J. Vernon McGee's commentary on Ezekiel 38 and 39, and where he mentions the three hooks that are going to be in Russia's jaw that God's going to put there to help bring them into this situation in the future. He says Russia needs a warm water entrance into the waterways of the world. Israel offers that, and Russia is moving in that direction. He said, a few years ago, I sat in the dining room on the top floor of the Hilton Hotel in Istanbul and watched Russian ships coming out of the Black Sea, moving through the Bosphorus, and heading for the Mediterranean Sea. This took place after the Six-Day War, and Russian naval strength had increased tremendously. What are the Russians looking for? They're looking for a warm water port. Admiral Gorshkov made this statement. The flag of the Soviet Navy now proudly flies over the oceans of the world. Sooner or later, the United States will have to understand that it no longer has mastery of the seas. Russia is looking for a warm water port. Where are they going? All I know, McGee says, is that they are headed for the Mediterranean Sea. What nation along the east side of the Mediterranean would be suitable as a port? Israel certainly would be. Russia is interested in moving southward today. God has put a hook in their jaw. And then I looked up on the World Atlas site a map of the Bosporus Strait. The Bosporus Strait connects the Black Sea to the Sea of Marmara. It also separates Asian Turkey from European Turkey. Thus, it separates the two continents. Bordered on both sides of the massive city of Istanbul, the strait is one of the planet's most strategic waterways. This body of water has served as a primary highway for the transport of energy to Europe from Russia and Western Asia. In 2005, some time ago, over 55,000 ships, including almost 6,000 oil tankers, passed through it, most carrying Russian oil. Now, of course, you know, McGee mentioned the Bosporus, as I said a minute ago, and we've been talking in the last podcast, the last few podcasts, about all the different oil pipelines that Israel is involved in transporting oil. So we get back to that old quote of mine, black gold matters. It really, really does. Now, looking for that, Russia, you know, has been looking for a warm, has been looking for a warm water port. Well, actually, in this article from January 4th, 2017, from the Gulf News, it says Russia's play in Syria will give it access to a warm water port. Its leaders for centuries have sought access to the warm waters of southern ports, as the northern ports are limited by ice and enemies. Russia's new alliance with Turkey to find what they call, and this was in 2017, what they call a solution to the fighting in Syria needs to be seen in a global context as Russia rebuilds its military presence around the world, seeking the same respect in global council chambers that was enjoyed by the Soviet Union, you know, before the disintegration now into just Russia. Russia may or may not be interested in a just and inclusive settlement in Syria's many concurrent civil wars, but it's certainly interested in the naval base it occupies in Tartus on the Syrian coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And to continue the article that I was reading from the Orthodox Jewish site, under President Obama, due to his isolationism, Russia got this Mediterranean access by establishing a naval base in Latakia, Syria. This is huge for them. And it's time for me to close for the East this evening. So we will come back to this issue of black gold still matters and what's taking place with Armenia and Azerbaijan and all the different things that we think may be setting the stage for Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the future. God bless you all. Good night. Lord be with you.